On the show today, we have Allergen's very own Jason Swabline talking about a number of industry technology trends, some of the things we talked about, payments, digital banking, self-service, data analytics, and much, much more. So check it out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CE Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Jason Swabline from Allergen. Jason, how are you today,
hey,
sir?
Mike, good
happy
morning.
Summertime to you.
I'm great. Thank you so much. Hope you're well. Summertime, yeah, it's definitely a different summer for us all, but happy to you as well. So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. We're in the dog days of summer, as they call it, but still good nonetheless. So we're happy to have you on the show, Jason, because today we're talking about all sorts of industry trends going on with mm-hmm. Obviously payments is going crazy. Digital banking is like top of mind. Data analytics. You can't swing a cat these days without talking about data analytics and a bunch of other stuff. But I want to talk about what are you seeing out there right now that credit unions are needing? Just to kind of a kind of an overview, because there's so much going on, especially kind of in a post-pandemic era where we're all kind of crawling out of our holes and going, oh wow, there's a world out here now. So what are you seeing right now? And then we'll get into some more details of like payments and digital banking and that type of stuff. So overall, what are you seeing right now?
No, good question, because I think what we're seeing is if you and I met, you know, even 90 days ago, probably there'd be a set of things we talk about that they're asking for, right? Because like you said, the impression that you just did where you're coming up and you're looking around, you're like, there's people again, I'm seeing them doing it. And now that we're seeing, you know, not to make this a COVID specific vibe here, but like now that we're seeing variants increase and all, people are questioning, what is my next step going to be?
Right.
I think there's some themes though that are completely not impacted by that from a decision matrix overall. And I think one of those is just continues to be modernization of older platforms and systems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a lot of times that when we had those conversations, we talk about that from a core perspective. But, you know, with the rise in payment vehicles that need to occur from a digital perspective, right, that we saw the rise of payment acceptance, oddly enough, rise of check acceptance, right, not just tied to things related to the small business checks or the checks that were coming out of the treasury. That was definitely where we saw escalated bumps, but very measurable. But the activity of people departing a branch or a store activity and then going back into a digital experience and now returning again, because we did see a 15 to 18% uptick as soon as branches started to open in different markets in the country. But now what we're seeing is people realizing in the credit union space specifically that investment in modernizing those pieces in the back end. You know, all too often we did do a lot of focus around the user experience, and rightfully so, you know, unquestionably you should. But we realized you can only go so far stacking technology on top of technology. Eventually that becomes risky, antiquated technology, right? So when you start to see people moving on a more digital realm for payments and infrastructure, weaknesses start to show in doing that activity. So what we're seeing trend-wise are people shopping for modernization, consolidating numbers of vendors from a risk point of view, right? Mm-hmm. But also because that way they're also consolidating the points of failure in the process. I think payments, you know, as you know, we have a large trust in our business on payments activity. When you look at check and the tangential activity related to that, when we talk about payments modernization, we're seeing things like RTP, for instance, right? But we've talked about RTP for a long time. I don't think we've seen anywhere near the pinnacle of adoption that we thought during this phase, but we're starting to see more uptick, right? We're seeing a lot of P2P activity, clearly. You know, I can tell you not just in our payments world, but also in our digital banking realm, the requests coming through for P2P integrations that people want to do are probably one of the top 10 requested things that people
really
are looking for today. Because
wow.
Why? Yeah, because consumers want to move money between each other.
Yeah.
And I think they were doing that obviously on the fringe in the fintech world, and seeing credit unions take a role with that is important because then they can help manage member experience. But you know, if I could put it under umbrella, modernization, you know, you see a lot of things out there where people, you know, whatever the news moment is, you know, occurring for the day, you know, from something from crypto, or one of 20 other activities in a day, you know, you see that, you see modernization. I think the second thing that we see that people outside of like investigating cryptocurrency and saying, what are you doing there, right? They want to know, are we using it as a payment type? Are we allowing people to at least manage that through third party entities? But I think also what we're seeing a lot is cybersecurity and risk, right? The cybersecurity and risk quotients of our activities are like second to none. Even from a year ago when we thought we were in the real thrust of the pandemic, cybersecurity, you know, just like every pinnacle that we've ever had in the industry from a product or solution point of view, mm-hmm. the fraudsters learn quickly to go after that. And I think cybersecurity has given a lot of people a lot of opportunity to be at home and work on that worldwide. So I think those are two big things that we see that helps.
Yeah, it sounds like, getting back to the fraud thing, it sounds like, you know, folks on both sides of the fence have been at home working on that. So, and unfortunately, exactly. the bad guys are working just as hard. So, oh my gosh, that's a whole nother show.
Yeah, I think what you said there, like we've all come out opening our windows, like, and looking around, right, in the world. I think the fraudster said, nope, they're pulling their blinds still, and they're like, we're hunkering down for a little while. So exactly. They're not coming out yet.
No, they're doubling down for sure. Hey, you mentioned payments in there, and you mentioned there's so many angles to take that. Like you mentioned crypto and real time and all the type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's also, you know, the buy now, pay later that has erupted as well. Because, I mean, even Apple is getting into that. Are you kidding me? So it's like, what do you see? I mean, how can a credit union keep up with the payments modernization out there? And what are you guys seeing out there on that front?
I think for a way to credit unions to keep up, right, is they have to acknowledge that the consumer is going to inquire about these and offer options, right? And what I mean by that is, you know, all too often the financial models that the consumer and the member were going to take hold of were being orchestrated by us as an industry. The credit union was letting the member know, here's what's available to you. Now, with the rise of all of the more retail-esque type entities you're talking about, there's been a name recognition that takes place mm-hmm. with these entities, and the customer and consumer and members are all coming right into to their credit unions and whoever they're actually doing transactional banking with, but their primary credit union relationships, and going, do you do this? Because I need it.
Yeah.
The credit union has to be prepared, I think, from first off, an educational point of view, right? To say, perhaps you don't need it based on what I know about you as a member, but mm-hmm. here's what I can offer you. But I think what the number one thing that you do, education first and foremost, because it's constant. It is constant, Mike, like you said. I mean, buy now, pay later, we've seen that in ebb and flow, but suddenly, you know, Square announces a purchase, buy now, pay later comes to all the surface with all this money.
That's right. Yeah.
Everybody, you know, that's the crypto discussion from 90 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before that, it was about investing, you know, with all of the peaks we saw in GameStop and things like that that were covering the news, right? So suddenly everybody, I can tell you the moment that happened, I got flooded with information of people saying, what third parties do you integrate with that allow trading or be able to check my stock for account aggregation, things like that, right? Then it went into crypto, and now it's happening the same thing in buy now, pay later. So I think credit unions have to educate themselves to help get through that sort of fog for the consumer and the member that they're working with,
mm-hmm.
but be prepared to execute on finding partners in the space that can tie into their existing platforms very readily through APIs and more robust tech, because these things come fast. Unfortunately, some of them go fast as well.
That's true. So good point.
Just being prepared for that.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. I mean, it seems like you just need to have a person who's just there dedicated 24/7 to keeping track of all this type of stuff, because it's just so much.
Yeah.
It's coming, like you said, it's coming so fast. So anyway, well, speaking of fast, digital banking just went through the roof the last 12 to 15 months, as we all know. So what do you see on that front? And also, you guys are doing some work with SkyOne, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but on that realm. But what are you seeing, especially like in you know, terms of remote banking and things like that? What are you guys seeing there?
You know, I think what we saw initially, so I'll kind of paint the past a little to head towards our future, is we knew when transactional banking could only occur from your home or remote space that we were going to see an uptick in activity related to user adoption. And I think everybody did, right? You know, probably 6 months prior to the pandemic, it was a hotspot in the industry to talk about member adoption tools, companies that could put these tools in to get member adoption up. Could we create these digital spaces inside our branch networks to teach people to use, to send them through those channels?
Yeah.
Pandemic took care of that, right? I leveled the field related to that. So now what we're seeing is an intense focus, and rightfully so. You know, earlier I talked about user experience. So now we kind of dovetail back into that kind of eat my own food that I make there, right? In that when we look at that, people do not want a fragmented experience between mobile and online, because what blurs it is tablets and things like that, right? They don't want to have to say, okay, go to device X versus Y. So what we're seeing is now that adoption increased, the tolerance of the member consumer to be on a fragmented ecosystem is far less, because they live a digital experience, not just with us, right? In the industry.
Yeah.
You know, I think you see tons of stats and data that are really awesome. Like, you know, we could see certain people that, you know, depending on what's occurring, like there's membership that goes in and checks, you know, 7-8 times a day, just doing balance refreshes. They're just doing this. When you look at the consumer and what they're doing, though, is it akin to almost the muscle memory that occurs with something like Instagram, right? So if you take a tangent to something that's more consumer oriented, a lot of people in their downtime, when they're on a conference call, something like that, they're just refreshing things, right? So some people are just doing that. They're not so concerned, did I literally lose $12 in the last hour?
Right.
It's like a muscle memory thing that's occurring. So what we're seeing is, no matter what they're doing, the ability to have that experience throughout is paramount. Unfortunately, what a credit union needs to do then is take steps to modernization. I think the great part is, like the payments piece I talked about, on the digital modernization piece, getting those into a single platform and have it presented as a user experience communicating the single platform versus finding a way to make all the disjointed parts communicate is what they have to focus on today. Mm-hmm. And I think they're executing, but cautiously, because it's an investment that needs to be made. I think what credit unions need to remember, though, is it's an investment that needs to be made, but this is not an investment that's going to just disappear in 2 years. This is an investment for the next 8, 10, 12-year life cycle. Yep. In the member experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So much to talk about there. Hey, before we get off the digital banking bandwagon here, can you just tell us how you guys are working in this area with Sky One Federal Credit Union as well? Cause you guys are doing some great work with them.
Yeah, no, perfect. Yeah. I mean, you saw some recent PR, and I appreciate you mentioning that.
Yeah.
You know, because Sky One was actually talking about many of those challenges that we just described together, right? Modernization on a solution that takes them to single platform into infrastructure, but take that a step further with easy to use APIs. And that's why, you know, they selected our next solution with us, because we look at, you can have that single infrastructure, but then to be able to integrate into it quickly, like I said, about those things that come as fast as some disappear, you need to be able to execute upon those. You can't say, oh, I want to offer that solution to my membership, but it's going to take me 8, 10, 11 months to integrate that one piece, because that opportunity has just passed you by. And in that, the membership may have also went elsewhere. So Sky One coupled their look at being able to want to do that in a unified experience. They have a lot of talent there too, to be able to execute on using SDK activities. So true software development toolkits to take their member experience very refined for their membership into that, which I think is important. You have to tailor it specific to users and geographies, right? Because that activity doesn't always occur the same.
Right.
But they also married it with the look of data and analytics, right? And I'm not just talking about data and analytics on an external facing model, but being able to say, how do we take data from the solution that we have that's inside our next solution is called Aware. Our Aware data analysis allows actionable activity, right? So what they need to do is not just see data and bring it to a board meeting and everybody look at it and go, that's cool. Thank you. We just did a checkbox and that moved on. But instead, daily seeing, what are members doing? Can that move into predictive behavior of a member that does this over and over? That might mean they're looking to leave us.
Mm-hmm.
They're not satisfied, but now they become quiet and don't vocalize that with us. So I think Sky One saw opportunity in data and the power of data married with a unique digital experience on their own, and then using the SDK portion of our solutions to tailor that. So you take the data and the unified experience, and marry that with the ability to customize for their membership while they can still take advantage of all of our investment. I think that's where we had a perfect marriage in that relationship. And I mean, they're a robust customer giving ideas already, even through an implementation process.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. And that's the perfect segue to, I think we have time for one more. I wanted to talk about data analytics and reporting, particularly something that's fascinates me on a daily basis is user behavior data. So what can you tell us what's going on in that sector there real quick?
You know, I think for us, what it was around, if you talk about the sector and how we look at it in Allegiant, but the sector overall, I think, again, it was collection of data. We didn't realize how much data we had at our fingertips to see what a member was doing. Now, I want to preface that without being creepy, right? We want to know where they're at on what screens, because we want to invest on what screens or what experiences. We think we want to direct them to seeing a certain thing at login. That member may, every time they log in, want to skip three screens in. why not bring that to the forefront?
Yeah, yeah.
Turning that data and analysis of what the member is doing and putting tools under place, again, not being creepy, but seeing a way for them to be watched to at least have us execute on creating, you know, a path for them that they can go find what they want as easily as they want.
Yeah.
Internally. And I think, you know, for us in the industry, that translates into looking at data analysis, seeing what the user's doing. So what screens are spending time on, transactions they're doing, screens are spending time on versus not, but then making that more actionable for them. And, you know, for us, you know, traditionally it's where you would then route, would if they're going to camp out on screen 4 that they're clicked on, or if they scroll down twice and that's where they abandon, put the things that you want to direct to their attention the second one down.
Mm-hmm.
Be an information hub for them of where they're sitting. Kind of get out of their way, but present it there, because a consumer knows when you've, you know, I'll put this again, I know we're getting tight on time, but as people, you know, how many times has somebody mentioned something in the room and then you get an ad for it on your mobile device and you look around and you're like, my phone's listening, right? Like I get relatives joking about that all the time.
Yeah.
Not want to tell them, yeah, kind of, right? But in that, taking that member data and the experience and porting that into giving them things in front of them that they need, I think is really important. And the preponderance of data, I think we're really on the cusp of starting on that, because turning that into AI, machine learning, and creating actionable data out of that is really where we are, Mike. And I think that's going to be an exciting, probably 18, 24 months ahead of us on that, now that we have so much consumer data in the digital experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I continue to say that as well. I think we're just scratching the surface here. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about all these points that we've talked about today. It's the theme here is creating a memorable member experience, one that's obviously seamless, frictionless, all the buzzwords out there and stuff. So, and that's what it all kind of revolves around, right? And empowering the member and making your credit union relevant, especially in the tech space. So, and you guys are right there in the mix. And I love talking about it. Again, we just scratched the surface here, Jason. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I think, Mike, in one thing you said there too, empowering the member, but we also want to empower the credit union, right?
Okay.
We should be partners in this as people who create solutions with the credit union. It shouldn't be, you know, the stacked structure. It should be we're partners in this, empowering the credit union to empower membership. I think it's really important.
Yeah, they. I think they both complement each other for sure.
Yep.
All right, Jason, anything else to add before we wrap up here? Got a couple of minutes. Any final thoughts here?
You know, I just think for us overall, you know, I'm thankful that everybody in our industry is staying innovative, working together, looking for new solutions out there as we live through what, you know, the pandemic that's happening globally. I think one thing to do is like, don't look at it from such a siloed activity as financial services. Your members aren't looking at us that way. They're looking at us as part of a greater digital ecosystem.
Yep.
We need to be open to that as well. And I think if we do that, we all succeed together.
Yeah. Great message to end on. All right, Jason. Well, thank you very much. I know you're a busy guy, so thank you so much for your time. And
thank you, Mike.
Great information. I think we're going to have to do part two on this one because there's so much more to cover. So
awesome.
All righty. Take care, Jason. Be well. All right.
Thank you, Mike. Take care.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.